shop, because it kind of gives us this broad overview and specific examples of what's going on in places where international student ministry is happening. And some come from kind of a church base, come from campus, some come from networking churches and campuses, and it's just a wonderful place for us to share ideas. So my name is Greg. I work with Crossroads International Student Ministries, and I'd love to help you in any way possible. There's cards on the there's cards on the chairs. If you want to fill out your name or information, we try and connect with you and give you any more resources. I would encourage you to stop by that Rise table or that Rise booth. It's on this level. It's kind of over there by going out those doors to High Street, and there are thumb drives available there. Some of you already got those, but there's thumb drives available that have four they're 20-minute length videos for training in international student ministry and in refugee outreach. And just to tell you how much people have sacrificed and worked to get those together, the cost to do those videos was over $30,000. And some generous donors said, we don't want to charge any, we just want to give this away. So it's all free, and it's done with incredible excellence. I'm just so thankful to be a small part of that wonderful, wonderful program. So anyway, I'm glad you're in this workshop. You're probably about workshopped out. This is the last of there's 180 workshops offered this time at this ICOM. So this is the last workshop series. I'm so glad you chose to come here instead of to lay on that nice, you know, those nice chairs over there by that hotel. I'm glad you're here. I want to give something away before we start. Today is November 19th. Yes. Whose birthday in this room is closest to November 19th? Anybody in November? Yours is the 20th? 28th? 20th? Her birthday is tomorrow. Well, we are happy to present you with a limited edition, because of our budget, everything's limited, a limited edition t-shirt that says, Love Your Neighbor. It has all the flags of the countries, and it's really a nice shirt. I want to wish you a happy birthday, just a day early. There we go. Isn't that nice? Aren't you glad you came to this one instead of that one over there on Bible study or something? Our panelists are people I really, really admire and respect. David Sowers is from the University of Missouri in Columbia. He's been an international student minister there for a number of years, and he just brings a wealth of knowledge to say, this is how we did this, and these are maybe some mistakes we made that we wish we would have avoided, and have you got questions? How can I help? You know, so David is just a wonderful resource. Dave Embry is from Springfield, Missouri, the home of the Bass Pro Shop, just down the road from his house. He's done a great job. You know, some of you say, how do we get churches to work together? Like, instead of just us and then the Baptists are doing this, and how do we? And he's done a wonderful thing to get people in the community united for a cause. And he's done that just remarkably well. I hope he shares a little bit about how he did that. Christy Dalakoti and her husband, Hari. Hari, are you in on this or just Christy today? Christy is in on this today. Yeah, we can't, you know, he has kind of a Texas accent, and it's just hard to understand that. Yeah. So Christy Dalakoti is in Denver at the University of Denver, 3,000 international students, and there's an English college there too. And Christy's just a stay-at-home mom who a year or two ago said, I wonder if we could do something more. And now they're taking, you know, kids to church every Sunday, driving by the college and partnering with the local church and trying to help them bring meals to Bible studies for internationals. So it's just been so wonderful to see that flourish. And it's just a result of a person saying, I'm available. So some of you are doing things with internationals too, and I hope you have, I hope you feel the freedom during this workshop to say, hey, you know, we tried this and it worked pretty well. Or others of you might say, we're thinking about this. Can you give us some ideas? So I'm going to pray and turn it over to our panelists. They're going to talk a little bit, each one a little bit at a time, and then open it up for questions. It's a very simple format. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day today. Thank you for the rich, helpful information we've received from so many of these workshops. And we just can't wait to put it into practice. It's our prayer that you would guide the conversations today. Give us wisdom. Lord, give us practical help. Give us that motivation that we need. And I know there's people in this room even now that have international students plan to come for their Thanksgiving. And I pray that you would just help wonderful conversations to happen around the table, not just about the weather or about advertisements for Christmas sales, but about deeper things about family and why we're grateful and how you have had a deep purpose in mind for each one of us. I pray those conversations will happen. Guide this day today now in this time we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm not sure who'd like to go first. Knew we had some kind of on the list between the three of you. Thank you, David.
You can imagine, if you will, a PowerPoint presentation, but you have to imagine, if you will. I think I had a virus hit it or something because it was not showing up like it was supposed to. So anyway, I serve at the University of Missouri in Columbia as a minister to international students, and I have a couple of my colleagues here today, Dennis and Linda Messimer, and Don Stoll is not here, but he is one of ours and been well since, so I have a great team to work with. But This opportunity is something that was brought forth to me just about 9 years ago. I've been there about 9 years now, and it's been a wonderful, as Greg put it in his video, a wonderful ride. It's just been a wonderful opportunity, as many of you know, to work with international students. But there is a strong Bible basis for our work that we do. And we think about God in Genesis 1:26 and 27 saying, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and beasts of the earth. And it says, and so God made them in his own image and likeness. And this is something that is very special, because he didn't say that about any other creature except for human beings. And of course, sin entered the world, and even though sin defaced the image of God in us, it did not remove it. And so really, when you go from Genesis 3 to the end of Revelation, you have this whole story of God's efforts to redeem man. And we see that as we go along in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God calls Abram out, and he says to him, among other things, he says, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And really, this gives us the whole trajectory of what God is doing, has been doing, and continues to do throughout the history of redemption. And in Galatians chapter 3, 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul tells us how this is done through Jesus Christ. And he says here, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so we are really in this whole trajectory of people of faith as we continue to spread the gospel to the international students, where we have our Christian campuses and our campus houses. Deuteronomy tells us to take care of the aliens among us, and that's something that we need to do, and we are doing as we minister to the international students. One of the things that it requires, though, in order for us to have an effective campus ministry is we have to have international friends. We have to have people that we can talk to or who are willing to listen to the gospel. And so how do we do that? How do we make these connections? Well, what we've done at the University of Missouri are a number of things. We've tried to take advantage of some orientations and resource fairs that are held at the beginning of each semester. And from that standpoint, I would encourage you to contact the persons at your university who head up the international affairs of the university and try to become their friends, because this has been a tremendous help to us to have a good relationship with the head of our international center there at Mizzou. He's been an ally. In fact, there are services that we offer that the university does not. And they call us sometimes to help with furniture or things like this. And so orientations, this is a way to get people to sign up, for example, for as conversation partners. We'll have a table along with our display and some computers set up where they can actually register with our ministry. And in that registering, if we ask questions like, would you like to have an English conversation partner? Would you like to be involved in a Bible study? Do you need furniture? Do you need a bicycle? All of these things are opportunities to make some really significant contacts right at the beginning of the semester. And so we found that to be a very effective way to establish some friendships right off the bat. In addition to the orientation, we have other opportunities. For example, we have some field trips and activities and events. And the main purpose of these events, even though they are fun, is not, of course, the fun of those things, but it's the contacts, from our perspective, with the international students. Sometimes the travel to and from the events is the most important time you can have with those students, because it gives you an opportunity to talk with them, to get to know them, to find out not only where they're from, but what their thoughts are. And we've had some very significant times like that. This past year, we had a fishing trip that was hosted by one of the area churches. And so there were several that went out for that, and a bunch of internationals. What do we have? Maybe, how many, 48? 67 people came out for this, and including many international students. It's a great time. We're, in a couple of weeks, going to have an international Thanksgiving meal at one of the local churches. We have a lot of new people that come out to that meal, not just people that we've known for a long time. And in fact, we never know how many are going to show up, because a lot of the international students will invite their friends. And so we're meeting new people all the time through the International Thanksgiving Dinner. Plus, we get treated to a couple of famous pilgrims disguised here, who dress up as, who is it you guys dress up like? We have Squanto, and then William Bradford, and yeah, Mrs. Bradford. Yeah, I just see Miles Standish, but I found out he wasn't a nice guy. Okay, Miles Standish was... So Miles Standish wasn't so nice, but anyway, Bradford was a good guy. So then Christmas time, and as has already been mentioned, some of you are going to be having internationals in your home for Thanksgiving. We've done that ourselves, and it's been a great time. Dennis and Linda constantly have people over to their house after church on Sundays. This is another thing you can do to get involved with their lives. Many of the international students do want to come to church. They want to find out what it's like. They want to know what Americans do in church, you know. And we've had different ones become Christians as a result not only of attending the church services, but of being involved with us in conversation partner programs, which I'm going to talk about very shortly. But events like field trips, meals, orientations are great ways to meet people. And then as long as you have follow-up, you want to make sure that when you're getting their names and you're meeting them, that you have something that you can follow up with on an ongoing basis. For example, we have a conversation partner program. We have right now between 80 and 85 international students involved with us and with church members who are working with us to be partners with men and women. We try to match guys up with guys, girls with girls. Sometimes there are some exceptions to that, but that's the norm for us. And, excuse me, we use curriculum such as FriendSpeak. FriendSpeak is, you can check that out. Those are books that are, for example, Luke. You have Acts. You have an Old Testament section of that. It uses Bible teaching using the easy-to-read version of the Bible as a way to teach English and also to answer questions about different Bible characters. We start out with Luke usually because it gets us into the life of Christ. And plus, Luke, as you know, begins by Luke giving in the first four verses all the research he did in coming up with his account for Theophilus. That's pretty important for a lot of skeptical international students. I say skeptical because many of them come from very naturalistic backgrounds in terms of their studies and their assumptions. They need to know that the Bible is not a bunch of fairy tales, but he checked into these things carefully. We use dialogues. We've written a series of dialogues dealing with the meaning of life. And in that series of dialogues, we address issues, creation, evolution, just even the purpose of earning an income. You know, what is most important in life? What's going to really matter in the end? And those have really opened the door for discussions with students. We have furniture ministry that we've used as a service project. This is getting out of events into service, but for example, we have Christians who give us used furniture. And then students will call and say, hey, you know, I need some furniture. And so we'll go out and take our truck to, we have a couple of storage units rented, and we will pick up furniture, take it to their places. And they really appreciate that. In fact, I remember one time a Hindu lady said, she said, I can't believe you guys are doing this. She said, our religion, we don't do this at home, you know. And there was a girl from Iran. She said, I got to confess to you, I'm from a Muslim background. We don't do like this. She was very impressed. And so they see us, and we tell them we're doing it because of Christ. We're doing it because we have Christians who have donated this furniture, and it's a great testimony to Jesus. They're seeing it in action when we serve them that way. And again, then we say, hey, you know, we've got these conversation partner programs. Would you like to meet with somebody? And often they will say yes. Or would you like to go to church with us? And they will say yes. Dennis and Linda pick up several people every Sunday morning to take them to church with them. Bicycle ministry is the same way. Dennis heads that up, and that's opened the door to meeting new people. And the common denominator in these events, these services that we're talking about here, is it puts you in contact with people you don't know in order to have a communication with those people and for them to see something about you, that you're not just a person out there living for yourself, but you're actually serving. And so as a result, it's a great witness for Jesus. And we, as a result of this, we've seen several individuals become Christians. We baptized several over the past 3 years. I suppose maybe 15 to 20 internationals have been baptized into Christ. While that doesn't sound like a large number, nevertheless, it is significant because some of these individuals started out as atheists. And I still remember the day when this girl, we were in a Wednesday Bible study, and our teacher was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and this Chinese girl raised her hand. She said, you really believe that? I mean, she was incredulous that we would really believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And we said, yeah, we really believe that. And so a couple of weeks later, I was talking to this girl, and she said, you know, she said, I think I've come to believe in God now, you know. And that's happened a number of times. And so I just have to mention here before I conclude here briefly that one of our men that works with us, Don Stoll, is, I think he's 86 years old this year. And Don meets with at least 20 different international students a week individually, an hour a person. And because he's probably our top evangelist, we've had several of these Chinese guys who've and girls too, but Chinese guys, particularly through him, become Christians. It's wonderful to see that. And I'm so encouraged to see that kind of thing in a person who is older, but he's not saying, "Hey, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm going to keep on going." So these are just some ideas, just to kind of go over this real quickly again. The events that you have give you opportunities to meet internationals. Your service projects, such as furniture, bicycles, transportation to the stores, that sort of thing, gives you the opportunity to serve them, and they see that. They see, and for you to tell them why you're doing it. And then all of this opens the door then to a more ongoing, regular contact with them, which is very important in teaching them the gospel, such as, for example, conversation partners. So I will conclude this at this point and turn it over to whoever is next. Okay.
Hello, my name is Christy Dallacote, and as Greg mentioned earlier, I'm from Denver, live in Littleton, Colorado, and I have a long history with campus ministry, and a few years ago, my husband and I, we live in Littleton, and Greg asked us if we would serve on his board with Crossroads, and so, you know, my husband being from Nepal and coming to know the Lord through international ministry, that was an easy yes for us to know that that's where the Lord was leading for us to be involved in Crossroads. Through that, we also have served on the mission team at our church. And so obviously, you know, like many of you, have a heart for missions and internationals. And our church was in a position where we had some additional funding, and bringing it to our mission team and praying about how God wanted us to invest this money into kingdom work, the opportunity came available to do more with international students. So long story short, Greg came out for a visit. We visited the campus of Denver University, made some contacts, started praying, and I really felt like God was leading me to be the one to be more involved hands-on on campus. And so I think one of the things that I've really learned through the process is the value of prayer, because, you know, as you come to these workshops and you hear different things of what people are doing, it's great to gather information. But what may work in one city or on one campus may not work in another place. And so I just was really open to, you know, how God wanted us to work, where he wanted us to meet people, how he wanted us to meet people. And so as it turns out, we are not a recognized student organization on campus. Just through meeting the different ministries and finding out what different campus ministries were doing on campus, we just really, it's also a private university, which made it a lot more difficult too, all the hoops that you had to jump through to actually be an organization. So we really felt like that wasn't necessary for us to accomplish the work we are wanting to do, which is meeting with international students. So it did take a little bit more creativity, but I would say one of the basic steps we did was on campus there was an international event, and almost all campuses do that, where all the student organizations from the different nationalities will host an international event, and they'll prepare food, or it's their time to share about their country. And so Hari and I went to that event, and through that really got to meet a lot of the international students from the DU campus. It was an open event to the whole community, so that was really kind of a great way for us to be around these international students. And through that, we met students from Angola, from the country of Angola. And one of the things that was really neat for us was just through what I have found is like through a relationship with even just one individual, what we would do is say, "Hey, we want to have an Angolan night at our house. Will you invite your friends?" And all of a sudden, you know, even though we made a contact with just one person, by opening it up and saying, "Hey, we want to have an Angolan night. We want to meet your friends. We want to hear about your country. Will you come to our house and share a meal together?" Then all of a sudden, we had 12 students that came to our house for dinner. And it was just a great way for us to engage with them, to learn more about them and their country, their homeland. They're always so excited to share about that. And they were actually the ones then that said to us, can we go to church with you tomorrow? And so we're like, okay, I didn't expect that to come up so quickly, but it did. And we said, okay, who wants to come to church? And I think almost all 12, maybe 10 of the 12, said, I'll come to church with you tomorrow. So then we are going back to campus the next day and picking up all the students on campus for church. And one of the things that I think I was hesitant about at the beginning was that we live 20 minutes from the campus, and our church is another 10 minutes. So it's about a 30-minute drive from our house. From campus to our church is about a 30-minute drive. So we started, you know, that next day we went to campus, picked up the students, brought them to church, and said, okay, we'll come back over to our house after church for a meal, because we felt that was really important after inviting the students to church to be engaged with them afterwards, to have the follow-up conversation, to be able to talk to them about what did you think of the sermon, you know, tell us about your experience, and just to continue that conversation afterwards. So that just kind of fell in our lap of all of a sudden, every single week, we've been going to church or we've been going to campus and picking up students. You know, the challenge is sometimes not knowing how many are going to show up. So are we going to have seven or less that they can fit in our pilot? Or are we going to have 12 and we need to bring a second car? You know, those are always some of the challenges. But there again, God seems to always work that out. Then the next step that kind of developed from that is that after about 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I was like, this is hard, like having, you know, driving an hour round trip, or actually, usually it's from the time we leave our house, go to campus and go to church, it's an hour and 10 minutes. So I was like, that's a lot on our Sunday morning. And then we have everyone over to eat and then we take them home. All of a sudden it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. So I thought, okay, I really need to get other people involved in this. And so then that's when we started talking to other people from the church. And as we were introducing them, I started a sign-up genius and said, okay, who would like to help make meals and provide lunch for the students after church? Well, I know some people aren't always interested in having them into their home, but one of the options that we had is to use, we call it our great room, upstairs at church. So we would even have people donate the food, and they may not be able to stay for the lunch, but they still provided the food. The students met them, and they may leave, but we were there to carry on the conversation and have the follow-up discussions after church. And that's been really neat to watch that develop, because, you know, there's one couple that they said, well, we don't want to just bring food to the church. We want to have people over to our house. And so they have, on almost a monthly basis, brought the students over to their house. And, you know, I mean, there are times when, because of our kids' activities or us traveling to ICOM or whatever, that we're not in town, and yet it's great to have other people, that the ministry still continues even though we're not there. And that's really valuable. So the students are going over to Greg and Kara's house tomorrow, and it's always fun for me. You know, I usually see on Facebook later in the day pictures of them taking a side trip to go hiking, or, you know, they're posting pictures, and it's fun for me to see that the students are engaging with other people in the church, because I think that's really valuable. It's not only a blessing to the students, but it's also valuable for the other church members too. I mean, some weeks we've had like 12 students and we take up, two rows at the church, and it's just a great visibility, I think, to our church. It speaks a lot to our heart for the international students, and hopefully is challenging them to be engaged with them and be involved with them. So that's kind of one piece of how everything kind of started for us. From that, we also kind of then started developing like a monthly pizza and game night. And so then that's always just been a fun, you know, usually a Friday or Saturday night activity. And, you know, we play Uno with them or teach them a game or, you know, something like that. So that's kind of a more fun social, but just also just a very comfortable situation for them to invite friends. And that's what we always encourage them to do, is and to invite their friends. Another idea or something that I've done that was really fun is with the women, I had a summer cooking class. And because they they come and they eat American food, and they think, oh, it'd be fun to learn how to cook some American foods. And so I had about 6 women that came over to my house. I think they were from like 4 or 5 different countries. And, you know, I taught them, you know, we made simple stuff. I mean, corn on the cob and hash brown casserole and barbecue chicken, you know, things that they really could, you know, I printed out recipes for them. So if they liked what they ate, they could try to go home and make that themselves. And it was so fun because even one of the desserts, you know, they had never tried graham crackers. And so I had them tasting graham crackers. And then that led to conversation about s'mores. And I pulled the marshmallows out of the pantry and they had never tried marshmallows. So it was just really fun for them to get to try some new foods they had never tried. And then I thought, well, you know, I bought the girls just like plain aprons and some fabric markers. And I thought, well, that'd be really fun just while the food's cooking to, you know, have them decorate some aprons. And it was so fun to watch these women as they sat around the table and they were trying to decide, well, what should we put on our apron? How should we decorate it? And they started talking and they decided they each did like their own individual kind of decoration in the middle. And then they decided, well, let's write our name in our native language and then we'll pass it around the table and have each person write the name in their native language, you know. So, you know, Sarah from Iran wrote her name in Farsi and passed it to Kiran, who wrote it in Hindi and passed it to, you know. And that was just so neat to see this picture at the end, to get all these women together in the kitchen. And here they each had an apron with their name in 4 or 5 different languages on the apron. So that was something that was just a really fun event. And I guess another thing when David was talking that came to mind too was just even beyond the conversation partners, something that I have found is that a lot of the students have a need of like taking some, you know, not necessarily a TOEFL test. Sometimes it's a GRE, you know, sometimes if they're here on their husband's visa, but they still need to, you know, take the GRE to eventually go to grad school. You know, they have these goals and ambitions, but usually there's some sort of test component to it. And that's where they do feel like, even though they feel like their English is good, they don't feel like it's good enough to do well on the test. And so a lot of times I'll say, well, do you need help studying for that test? And they have resources online or books they check out from the library. And so a lot of times when I meet with the students, they'll say, yeah, let's go through these questions. And a lot of them are kind of just open dialogue. They're needing just to practice their speaking, practice in their listening. And so that's been a really good way. This one student from Iran, Sarah, that I've been meeting with, that's how the conversation started. Will you help me prepare for my test? And I think I went over to her house. I think I've been there one time where we actually worked on her test. And the last 3 times, it's been she needed help navigating the healthcare system and the insurance that they have and how to make a doctor's appointment. And she was really nervous about an upcoming appointment. And so she said, can we go through some vocabulary? So we went through some medical terms. She shared with me what she was going to be seen for. And she said, you know, and so I said, okay, well, this is a word you may hear from the doctor. And this means this. And so we were looking up words. And that was just really neat to see that friendship developing to a point where she felt comfortable sharing with me, you know, these upcoming doctor's appointments. And then the next time I came back, she said, okay, all my doctor stuff is online. Can you go through my tests with me and tell me what these mean? And then she said, can you help me, you know, write an email to my doctor because I don't understand this and that. And she was just sharing stuff. And so that's been really neat too. I just know how much she appreciated that. So I think sometimes there's just, you know, I think, like I said, with the prayer, I think that's one of the most important components. And if you open yourself up to being used by God, then He will bring the people that He wants you to be in relationship with, and He will show you their needs and how best to minister to them. And, you know, like with this Sarah, I mean, I'm obviously constantly praying for her, but it's neat because she, when she first came to the country, was in Virginia, and she told me that she met with someone that was a Christian. And I was thinking, well, how good is God that here she met with someone for 3 years, had a Christian friendship, you know, that someone that I don't even know who she is, but obviously had a heart for reaching out to internationals, was building a relationship with her. And then here Sarah had to, you know, move to Denver, and I'm in relationship with her, and God brought another Christian alongside her. And so I know God's at work. I know he's doing something because he's planting those seeds. He's bringing different people into her life to minister to her in different ways. And so I think that's neat, too, to remember that we're not always the ones that will bring them to Christ. I mean, I've been blessed to be able to be that kind of final person to lead them to Christ and baptize them. But then other times it's just the relationship and it's the planting seeds that you don't know what God's going to do with those in the future. So, yeah, I think that's all I have to share right now.
Thank you, and thank you, David. My name is Dave Embry. I am not the international minister per se. I am the director of Christian Campus House at Springfield, Missouri, working with students at Missouri State Ozarks Technical College, and more internationals than any other students with Drury University there in town. And I'm going to move what was originally going to be my opening to second, because you were talking about food and graham crackers and marshmallows. We've had this terrible ethical dilemma in our ministry because at a big back-to-school event each year for international students, we bring in some little patio fire pits, and we teach students how to make s'mores. It's one of their first American survival skills. The ethical dilemma is, do we tell the Muslim students that marshmallows are not halal? Usually we do, and sometimes they don't care. But one year we were having a dinner on the Monday night a week prior to classes beginning, and that year we decided to do Italian food. It's always hard to figure out if there's going to be a diversity of international students, what do you serve? Actually, over the last couple of years, we've settled on Mexican, because you can make all sorts of different stuff and people can combine whatever they want. But this year we were doing Italian food, and I was refreshing some things up on the table, and a young girl came in, little Chinese girl, and sometimes they're really little, like this tall, and she pointed to a pan and said, what is this, please? And I said, well, that's a dish called lasagna. And she said, what? I said, that's lasagna. And her face got real happy, and she said, Garfield! She had never seen lasagna before, but she knew that Garfield loved it. All right. A lot of times our paths cross in talking pop culture more than talking about big, important philosophical issues. Speaking of which, Jesus prayed in John 17, beginning at verse 20. He prayed for unity. May we be one, or I'm sorry, may they, speaking of us, be one even as we, that is Jesus and God, are one, so that the world might believe. My portion of the panel is really about collaboration and about how important it is in working with international students that we work together. We work alongside a spectrum of types of people. A year and a half ago, I met a student who was new to our campus. He had been to a couple of other schools. His name was Sirhan. And Sirhan, Muslim, but not all that serious about it. What was most important in his life is that he's a Kurd, and that the Kurds are an oppressed people. The Kurds do not have a country of their own. He claims the largest ethnic group in the world. Other people will dispute that, who don't have their own nation. But anyhow, that was kind of his thing. And he went on a canoe trip with us, and he was delighted that I knew something about Kurds and that I knew something about Kurdistan and the divisions within it and so on. And I kept trying to bring it around to Jesus, and he kept saying, I'm a Muslim. You know, I respect Jesus. That's fine. Let's talk about Kurds. And he liked a lot of our students, and he started showing up to various events. And one guy in our fellowship, who was a philosophy major, really hit it off with Sirhan. And they started spending time together, and Sirhan would ask him really, really hard questions. Well, you're a Christian, but what do you say about this, and what do you say about that? And Daniel would always answer very honestly, including several I don't knows. And we went through the whole school year, and Sirhan kept showing up for various things from time to time, and he was always really respectful and friendly towards me. We'd always chit-chat a little bit. Well, I'm going to be talking about how important it is for us to be together with other people on our campuses or be coordinated with people on our campuses who are ministering to internationals. And so as one part of that in my life this summer, I sought to get together with the Chi Alpha guy, the Assemblies of God guy on our campus, who works with international students. I'd seen him in passing a few times, but couldn't get him to slow down long enough to talk to me so we could coordinate some efforts. And so we met together at a coffee shop, and I said, you know, I've been wanting to chat with you for a long time. And he goes, yeah, I've been wanting to talk to you too. And I said, oh, yeah? What's up? And he says, you remember your friend Sirhan? And I said, yeah. And he said, we baptized him this summer. I said, you what? I said, how did you get him off Kurdistan long enough to baptize him? And he said, oh, well, when he came to some of our events this summer, he was very, very interested in spiritual things. I said, how did that happen? And he says, well, your guys over at Campus House talked to him about all these spiritual things, and he had really, really struggled with the Trinity, and you guys straightened it out for him. We did. And we got together for an international event later, the Assemblies of God and some other people and us, and Sirhan was one of the guys helping put things together, and he came up and he thanked me so much. Okay, I'm not saying we should become universalists and just say whatever anybody believes is okay, but anybody on campus who loves Jesus and is trying to pursue, trying to point other people towards Jesus are our allies. And we must come across to the international students as such. Many times when they show up on our campuses, depending on where they've come from, they already know that Christians don't like each other. And so they expect to see that on our campuses. One of the places I believe it is it most compels us to be the body of Christ, to be unified in the gospel, is in reaching out to international students for a couple of reasons. One, so that as they sample various things going around, they will get the same message. But secondly, so that they can learn to tell the difference between truth and error. I had some professors show up on my doorstep fairly literally back in February of last year, and the woman who is our international minister said, Dave, there are a couple of Chinese professors here to talk to you. And I said, oh? I don't remember setting this up. And she said, well, do you have some free time? And I said, well, sure. And so we sat down and I said, how can I help you? And they said, who are the Mormons? I said, who are the Mormons? Do you have experiences with them back home? Why are you asking? And they said, no, we don't have Mormons. And since we have arrived here, and, you know, international students are on all sorts of plans these days. Some of them come as freshmen. Some of them come as grad students. Some of them come as post-grad. Some of them come for six-month programs. Some of them come for one-year programs. And these two professors brought over 40 students on an agricultural six-month something. No, I'm 8 months something. They said, ever since our students got here, the Mormons won't leave them alone. They found out where they live, and they keep coming. And they talk about Jesus a lot, and we just are a little confused. Are they Christians? Are they not Christians? And one of the Chinese professors was already a Christian. The other one was not. And the one who is not says, can you explain to me what Christianity really is so I can tell what isn't? We had some really, really great conversations about Mormonism. We had some really great conversations about Jesus. And I'll just share this to the side because Jack was the American name the male professor of the two took. Jack at first said, I'm a member of the Communist Party. I am an atheist, but I want to understand what you're teaching. By the end of our time together, he... Well, in the midpoint, he said, now you're telling me if I become a Christian, I'll go to heaven, right? And I said, yes. And he said, and you're telling, if my parents are not Christians, they will not go to heaven. And I said, our God is very just and our God is very merciful. I said, the Bible says for sure that through Jesus we can be saved. I said, I am not going to condemn your parents, but if you want to be sure to be with them, they need to accept Jesus too. And he said, but if I chose to accept Jesus and they did not, I would be a bad son, wouldn't I? Because I wouldn't be with them in eternity. I've never had an American student say that to me. I've never had that. But by the time he left, he was asking me questions like, is it okay sometimes for a Christian to lie? And is it okay to believe in Jesus but still not believe in God? And I answered all those questions for him. And eventually he said, I will be grilled when I go back to China about whether or not I'm still an atheist. I'm a member of the Communist Party. He says, I have a wife and a son back home. If I admit that I'm no longer an atheist, that I've become a Christian, I will lose my job. I will lose any option to pursue my teaching career. And I worry about how my children will eat, or my son will eat, and where we will live. I said, Jesus said, you got to count the cost. And we talked about why it's an important thing. But we also need to realize that for international students, it's not just entirely, oh, you don't know Jesus? Okay, meet Jesus. He's really good. Okay, everything's good. A lot of family issues, a lot of cultural issues, a lot of job issues. Okay, back to collaboration. I've been on our campus a long time. I know a lot of the people. I also teach in the Department of Religious Studies on our campus. I'm on a lot of committees. I'm very engaged with the university. And I get a lot of phone calls from people saying, so how do we get a chance to work with international students there? And one of my first answers usually is, hey, we've got this going on. We'd invite you to come alongside us to do it. And they say, yeah, that's fine. But we got this new vision. We want to do this. And I'll say, well, the Baptist Student Union is doing exactly what you're talking about. How would you like to come alongside them? And they say, no. Our church really wants to minister to college students. And I say, that is a wonderful thing. So why don't you talk to Joyce Eddy, who actually is a member of Northside Christian Church in Springfield, who's the International Friends Coordinator on our campus and who loves to talk to churches and get people recruited. Why don't you chat with her about that program? And they say, no, you don't understand. Here's our vision. God's vision is that everybody come to know him, to come to a knowledge of the truth. God's vision is not that we have 50 different groups on campus all trying to raid the pool of international students to do their own things. Does this make sense to you? International students see that when it's happening. And they see the competition. And they see what they perceive as hostility and lack of unity. And just like with American students, international students often ask me, so who should I listen to? Who should I listen to? Now, again, I'm not a universalist, and I believe that doctrine matters. And I talk to international students a lot about why some people speak in sounds that they don't understand and why some of us don't. And we talk about some other theological issues that they've heard about here and there. I mean, they're interested in those things, but I don't say those are bad people. I don't say, well, if they believe these certain things, they don't love Jesus. Now, I did tell them that the Mormons are not actually a Christian group, but they're a Jesus-based esoteric new religion, which is what I also teach in my classes at the university. Thank you. but we need to be unified. So what Greg was referring to, we did a seminar back in February that I had Greg come down for. I invited the leaders of all the groups that I knew of ministering to students on our campus to come together. I have tried to create a directory of what all the student services are on our campus offered by various campus ministries to provide to students, to provide to each other, to provide to the university, to say, here's the legit stuff. Because an awful lot of people, quote unquote, want a piece of the action, and we don't know who they all are. I want to protect our international students. I want to keep them from anybody who does not have God's best intentions for them. But to do that, we've got to know each other. We've got to like each other. We've got to respect each other. One of the things we do is give students rides to Walmart on Friday nights, international students. And one night I was doing the run. I don't usually do that because usually I've got students in an inner city ministry working with homeless. But that week, for some reason, I wound up driving the students, and I'm out there. And I see a friend of mine out at Walmart, and it's like, hey, what are you doing out here tonight? And he's like, brought a load of international students. I said, you did. So did I. And he said, how many do you have? And I said, about five. He said, I only had about five. Why are we both doing this? And, it was just lack of communication. The ministry he was working with didn't know we were doing this. We didn't know they were doing that. If you coordinate some efforts, God comes across looking a lot better organized, and we come across as more loving. Second thing, whatever you do with internationals, please, please do it as much as possible in the full spotlight of your university system. I mean, I totally recognize what Christy's doing and why she's doing it the way she is, and I think they probably love her and trust her at Denver, you know, even though she's not an officially organized student organization. You don't have to be to work with internationals, by the way. But please tell them what you're doing and work within their standards. Work with them instead of against them. Yes, there is ungodliness at every level of every university of which I'm aware. Yes, there are people who hate Jesus. Yes, there are people who want to turn everybody into naturalistic, materialistic, humanistic clones, including international students, and they're going to hate what we're doing. But they need to provide services to students, many of which they can't afford to do, many of which they can't figure out how to do. We can. We need to make ourselves invaluable to the universities so that, as has happened in both those cases and many cases with us, the university comes up and says, hey, would you, could you? And the correct response to those questions is yes. Take it away, Greg.
I'm wondering if we can have 4 or 5 minutes of questions from the folks here, Dave, that they could direct to David or Christy or Dave.
I can be the mic carrier and distributor. David, why don't you come up here front? Absolutely. I'm going to repeat the question for the taping that's going on. The question is, are there some guidelines out there, some standards for how to host international students effectively, particularly if they're there for a weekend or for a whole holiday, or even more so if they stay in a home for a whole semester? Yes. That's a beautiful word. How can they harmonize in the family settings? The family doesn't do anything really silly, but also so they don't bend over backwards the wrong way. How do they respect various cultural heritages? Resources? David.
If I can have permission to have Dennis or Linda, they have 2 Iranian students staying in their home right now, and they've been there for several months. You mind answering that question?
One of the students we have did become a Christian a little over 2 years ago. He's actually a professor at Lincoln University now. Their Iranian friends say, now, do Dennis and Linda check the basement for bombs and AK-47s every night? We of course talk about what do you eat. You have to ask these things. What do you want to? Is this a problem for you? And they will tell you. Different people have different things that they don't eat. We tell them we are going to pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to God through Jesus. And actually, we've never had a problem with Hindus or Muslims, anybody, when we say that we want to pray for you, and they will ask us. They will come to us and ask us to pray. At one time, David was counseling with a lady in the next room, and I just felt the urge to go in. I asked her, I said, you know, I've been hearing a little bit of this. Do you mind if I pray? And she said, no. And so I prayed, and she just said, thank you very much. we found out, we had been to a conference, and we found out that we had to be very careful if they were from Taiwan, if there were Chinese there, that we used the right terminology, that we didn't call Taiwan a separate country. And when I heard that the first time, I thought, well, I've dealt with both nations, and it hasn't ever been a problem. So I went back, and I asked my best Chinese friend. He said, you remember one time at the Thanksgiving dinner that they asked, well, how many countries do we have here? And then someone said, no one's mentioned Taiwan. And he said, some of the Chinese were grumbling about that. And so it's a work in progress. You have to listen. But I just think that overall, when they realize that you love them, and if you come with a humble spirit, that's what you need to do.
Great. Thank you very much, Dennis. We're going to ask our panelists to kind of hang around up here afterwards, and you can ask them some more questions and get a little bit more insight from them. I want to give them all just a special thank you. Would you thank them with me for taking their time? And